This is Becky Mitchell, and I am from the Holmes Theater. And joining me today, I have Caitlin Norby, Sharon Sinclair, and Jim Sinclair from Summit Productions' Gladys in Wonderland. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Glad to be here.
And we're literally sitting at Gladys's table on the set. You guys are right in the middle of set building, correct?
We are. We have a little painting left to do, some last few details of construction, but then her house will be put together.
And Sharon, you play Gladys in this production, correct?
Yes, I do.
And Jim, who do you play?
I play her younger brother, Frank.
And we should mention that Caitlin is the director of this production. Summit Productions has been around for many, many years. And I know Jim and Sharon, you've both been involved for quite a few years, have you not?
Yes, I've been involved since, I think, in the 80s in various productions. And then it was called Playhouse 412. And then it merged into the Summit Productions when the Historic Holmes Theater became the production manager for the community theater, which has been a wonderful change for the community theater.
How long would you say you guys have been in, how many productions, I should say, have you been in?
I don't think
two this year alone, right?
Yeah, yes. Well, I'd say probably I've been 10.
Okay. Jim, any idea?
No, I'd say 6, 7 maybe.
Well, I know you were the stars of the fall production, and that was very enjoyable, and I know without a doubt this one will be as well. And Caitlin, you've directed how many productions now?
This will be my second directing debut here with Summit Productions, and then I produced a show 3 years ago.
And how many local actors are involved in Gladys in Wonderland?
This year we have 11 actors and some other community members assisting me in directing, stage managing, assisting building the set, finding props and things like that. So it's a good sized cast. We have a few newbies on the stage this year, so we're very excited to have new blood into Summit Productions, but we're always looking for new members. We're always excited to have new involvement, even if it's in small things just like helping us build the set, helping us find costumes and props, or accepting a role on stage and adding their talents to our group.
And you guys go through a process, do you not, as a group to kind of, you look at many plays and it's a group effort to kind of decide which direction you're going in?
It sure is. We meet about once a month when we can. We collaborate on ideas of what sorts of shows we want to bring to Summit Productions. We read different plays. We share ideas and thoughts. We brainstorm ideas on how to get the community involved in either helping us choose a show or, again, being involved on stage. So it's definitely a community project from the very beginning to lights on the stage.
It sounds like there's a spot for everyone, whether you have experience or not.
There really is, and it's great because the commitment is not maybe as time-consuming as most people would think. It's definitely a flexible schedule. Towards production time, it gets a little bit more rigorous, but there is a spot for everybody, as much time as they can give. We have things to do.
And we always look for new ideas. The group that Caitlin referred to is we would say loosely organized. I mean, it's not a very formal group, and we do meet monthly, almost always monthly. But anybody who is really interested in theater, has ideas for community theater, would be welcome to take part in that group as well.
Tell us a little bit about the story of Gladys in Wonderland then. What about this particular play was appealing to perform on stage, and what is it about?
Sure, well, we kind of joke as a cast that we're finding it difficult to describe this play and actually have people not look at us funny. It's about the story of Gladys. She's an 87-year-old free-spirited woman who wakes up one day and is greeted by her angel of death, who says it's her time to go, and she's just not having any of it. It's not her time. She stomps her foot and says, no, I'm not going. And so they go through a few hilarious scenarios of what will happen if she doesn't go with him that day. And finally, after a few different events, she thinks, well, maybe the afterlife isn't looking so bad. And so, the moments are handled sweetly as we talk about death, but it's really a comedy. The characters are hilarious. She has a crazy family, a good group of friends, and it was a really fun script to read through initially. I thought the characters just had so much life in them, and I really saw the ability for our community actors to bring them to life and to the stage, and so that's what drew me to that show. Any thoughts on?
I think that's.
You have to tell how you describe it to your grandchildren.
When I was having lunch with my granddaughters, and I said, "Grandpa and I are going to be in another play," and they said, "Oh, what's the play?" And I said, "Well, it's Gladys in Wonderland, and it's about a ditzy old lady who meets the Angel of Death." And they said, "Oh, Grandma, you'll be good at that part." And I said, "I didn't tell you what part I had."
I promise, I didn't typecast anyone.
But I think we did. Caitlin said, we have to look at people who are involved. We always want to see new people, but we kind of have to look at who's available. Mm-hmm. And this part had parts for very mature actors. And that's something we've looked at, and we've kind of made it a goal for us to not look at geriatric productions, because we've done a few and try to bring in younger actors. And we have some new, very fun younger people who are involved in this production. So I think we're getting there.
But that's why we need some younger people involved, yes. And particularly in the acting part.
We're exploring a lot of new shows that have lots of young roles, and so we want that young blood to come in and fill those characters with their talents.
Mm. Well, you guys are going to perform a scene from Gladys in Wonderland.
This is a portion of our first scene of the show. It's takes place in Gladys's house, and this is our first introduction to her younger brother, Frank, as he comes over to visit.
Morning, Gladys.
Frank. What a pleasant surprise.
A brother has to keep an eye out for his sister. Ma would have wanted it that way. Besides, Myrna had to bring the Olds in for a 6-month checkup, and she gets her hair done today. And I said, you know, I may just as well go and check up on Gladys.
How nice. Me, the Oldsmobile, and Gladys's hair, all on one schedule. Hey, can I get you some coffee?
Oh, no, never drink coffee. Can't remember the last time I drank coffee.
I drink it all the time.
And what do you do with the cup after you drink that stuff?
Well, usually I wash it out.
You get yourself a magnifying glass and take a good look at the inside of that cup. That's what I did. I don't want my insides looking like that. That's why I started drinking water. Only water, 5 times a day.
Well, don't you get tired of plain old water?
Oh, no, indeed. Myrna and I have come up with a whole range of different ways to take it in. Believe you me, I get out of bed in the morning and I can't wait to get to the table. That's when Myrna hands me a mug. Warm H2O. Starts the day off with a bang, I tell you.
Does it?
Now, mid-morning, Myrna boils it, pours it into a bowl, puts a towel over my head, and I sit and inhale the steam. Talk about a pick-me-up. I am ready for anything after that. After my nap, I like to take it in a glass, chilled. No ice, though. Don't want to get a cold in the stomach. Mid-afternoons, sometimes I take it warm, sometimes not. We decide on the spur of the moment. Evenings, I have it in a cup. Myrna checks it with a thermometer so it's just past tepid. Yes, indeed, a cup of warm water right before bedtime. You cannot imagine the difference it makes.
You're right about that, Frank.
It keeps me at the top of my form. But you look pretty well, Gladys, considering.
Well, thanks. I feel pretty well, considering. Most of the time, anyway.
And the rest of the time?
Well, you know, everybody's got something.
What does the doctor say?
Well.
Well, what?
That's what he says. I look at him, he looks at me, and he says, well.
And then?
And then Doris takes me home. Sometimes we stop and I get a shrimp salad sandwich or maybe a chicken salad on rye with a slice of banana cream pie.
Has he checked your glucose lately?
My what?
Glucose, sugar. That's very important.
Oh, I don't know, Frank. Besides, why can't I eat what I want?
The leopard never changes its spots.
Leopard?
I guess you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
Oh, I don't know. Doris taught Scruffy to jump that garden gate, and that dog was getting up there.
Oh, you never change, Gladys. You're always drifting through life, never setting a course and sticking to it, letting yourself be blown about like a leaf in the wind, like some bit of flotsam and jetsam adrift on the sea.
You always did like boats, didn't you, Frank?
Go ahead. Have your laughs. In the end, you've only yourself to blame.
Myself to blame for what?
Oh, my big sister. Just look at you.
What? Don't you like this duster? I mean, it's a little busy, but I thought just to jump into it in the morning, it'd be fine. Of course, if I'd known what this particular morning was going to bring, I might have chosen something
Gladys,
a little...
Gladys, Gladys, Gladys.
Frank, Frank, Frank.
I told Myrna I'd come.
I know. Well, she gets her hair done and the Oldsmobile gets serviced.
But I knew right from the start. And you know what she said? Myrna said, Frank, Gladys will always be Gladys.
Really? Did she say that?
Those were her very words. But she said, you go, Frank. If you don't, you'll never forgive yourself.
Myrna's a gem. You couldn't have done any better for your second wife. Oh, did I say that?
Ma knew, Gladys. You know she did. Sometimes she'd look at you and just shake her head.
And that meant?
She knew. The woman knew.
So it wasn't just the looking. It was the shaking along with the looking.
It's like banging your head against a brick wall. You know you should stop.
Well, I would think so.
God knows I've tried.
What? Banging your head or stopping banging your head?
Time and time again I've tried.
Oh, you've always been a trying person, Frank.
But you come to a bend in the river and the current carries you away.
Maybe I should be writing this down.
I've done all I can do. I've said all I can say.
If I could only count on that.
I'm worn out, I tell you.
You do look a little tired.
Myrna said I ought to take my nap here, and then she'll pick me up later.
Here, huh? How thoughtful of Myrna.
I'll just lie across the bed in your spare room. I nap every morning, and then I'm up at 12:15, sharp as a tack.
I'll bet you are.
And that's the end of the scene.
Definitely gives us a little insight into those characters, I think.
Yes, I think we can all relate to that brother-sister relationship.
Oh, yes.
Tell us a little bit more if people wanted to get involved with the next production.
I think they just need to contact the theater, and we'll get you to one of our meetings. Like I said, we meet once a month just to have brainstorming sessions, talk about what shows we would potentially like to do, and brainstorm some other events. We're playing around with the idea right now of doing a reader's theater sometime in April. And what that would encompass is we just choose a script, invite the public to come one evening, and when you arrive, you get assigned a role, and we'll just sit around a table and read that play. There'll be no props, no set, no costumes or anything. You'll just sit and read from the script, and it'll be a little bit different than if you were to see a show on stage, but we bring the show to life, and potentially that could be a play that we do bring to the stage in a future season. But that's just something that's very basic time commitment. One night just gives you a little idea of what's it like to be a part of a set in a cast. And again, there's no auditioning, so there's no pressure to do well or to not do well. Prepare something. You just come and read your lines. There's no memorization needed. So that's something we're playing with to hopefully get some new people involved, and then of course keep them involved as we go forward to the next season, which would be a show in the fall.
Excellent, excellent. Well, in any closing thoughts that Jim or Sharon may have at all?
Well, just that I really would encourage anybody who's, and Caitlin has described a very good way for somebody in the community to get involved and just to try it out. And maybe they've done some theater sometime in their life, and this is just a chance to get out and take a character again. And it gives us, the Summit players, an opportunity to get through a few scripts, because it's hard to decide on a show, and if we get some input from a larger group of people, that would really be helpful.
Sure.
We need that new idea. So we need somebody who can read a script and decide whether it's a good one. I've read several of these scripts that we've put on and thought that they're not going to be a very good play. I don't like it. By the time we got into the production and the nearing time, I thought, this is a wonderful play. this is a good example. I didn't think much of this play when we first read it, but now I think it's going to be funny. With the kind of winter we had, it's a great way to get for people to get some laughs.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And just a reminder to the listening audience, you know, all ages, maybe not all ages, probably high school and up, I'm guessing, unless there's a specific role that we do a call out for a younger actor. But all ages, shapes, sizes, and experience levels are welcome to get involved in Summit Productions. And please put it on your calendar to come out and see Jim and Sharon and the rest of the cast in Gladys in Wonderland on Thursday, February 27th, and Friday, February 28th at 7:30. So two opportunities, no reason you can't make one of those nights. And I thank all three of you for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, enjoyed it.
Again, if you have any questions or you'd like to purchase tickets, you can call our box office at 844-7469 or visit us online at www.dlccc.org.
Funding for this program has been made possible through a grant from the Legacy, Art, Culture, and Heritage Fund of Minnesota.